The plan for Nathan Myhrvold was to go into academia. He had his PhD in physics and had even done some work with Stephen Hawking. But then he got pulled into this side project. The project turned into a company. The company got acquired by a little Redmond concern called Microsoft. And before long, Nathan became Microsoft's first chief technology officer. But Myhrvold kept his passion for science. And while he was at Microsoft, in his abundant free time, he started writing papers about dinosaurs.
Everybody loves dinosaurs when they're a kid. And professional paleontologists are just people who never lost that. So don't ask me why I'm interested. It's like, what happened to you?
I met Myhrvold at the Bellevue headquarters of his current company, Intellectual Ventures. His office is littered with dinosaur fossils and space rocks. He wears jeans and a t-shirt that says, "Pizza is beautiful." He may not be a professional scientist, but he's got a track record of confronting the pros when he finds flaws in their work. And that led me to my impolite first question: why be such a pain in the butt to mainstream science?
I would say I'm not a pain in the butt to mainstream science. You know, in the case of dinosaurs, I've published many papers on dinosaurs, and I was well enough established that at the annual conference where all the dinosaur paleontologists go, I knew pretty much everybody, not totally, but pretty much. Now, I did discover that there was a series of papers on dinosaur growth rates where the people who had done the studies had cooked the books. They cheated. Okay, they made data up. They did a variety of other things. It was clear case of scientific misconduct. There were lots of other paleontologists that suspected this guy either was wrong or had really screwed things up, but they were reticent to bring it up. And that's because this guy had attained a certain amount of stature. When you have someone who has attained a high degree of stature in the field, it's very difficult to come back and say, wait a minute, this person cheated. In this dinosaur case, another paleontologist came up to me after it was all published, and he said, you know, I knew that there was something wrong with it, but if I asked a graduate student to work on that, it'd be like asking him to walk into a buzzsaw.
So what is it about you, do you think, that made you not leave it alone?
Well, I asked this guy, and he said, I don't have tenure yet. This guy would block my tenure. There's no way I could do it. Whereas me, I have tenure at Nathan University. You know, I don't have an academic job.
How is it similar to and how does it differ from what came up later with the NASA data?
In that case, some people who wanted to build a space telescope to find asteroids that could hit Earth came to see me hoping I would give them some money or I would endorse their project to various rich friends of mine. And I got interested in what they said, and I started doing some calculations. Well, as part of that, I discovered one of those projects, a proposed project, had made a colossal error in their physics. They had forgotten something called Kirchhoff's law. Now, this is a first-year college physics kind of a thing. In fact, good high school physics covers it. But they had screwed it up. I contacted them, and this project had talked to me almost every day. Well, as soon as I asked about this and about their previous project, which was a NASA project that was largely completed, which had tried to estimate the size of 150,000 or so asteroids, well, I discovered they made that mistake there too. So these people were estimating the size of asteroids. Now, the way you check to see if that's correct is there's a small set of asteroids where we know the diameter some other way. So what you're supposed to do is take the asteroids that we know the diameter of a different way and now compare your estimates. Instead, they had copied the diameters of those ones we knew exactly. This is a group which is very famous in the field. The NASA program office that they're associated with is the main funding source for asteroids. And I think the similarity is, just as the dinosaur guy was a total jerk about using peer review and other things to threaten people, this group did the same thing. When my first paper on this came out, I got several emails from people. One said, you know, welcome to the club of people who this group is, NeoWise group, has tried to squelch.
Is this something that's like part of your personality or your intellectual kind of constitution that that you persist doggedly when you've, you know, when you've got a bone like this?
Well, mostly, you know, in asteroids, I'm doing lots of other work because I've gotten into it now. And that work isn't about correcting other people's mistakes. It's about just taking brand new ideas. And in dinosaurs, I had published many papers on dinosaurs prior to those growth rate studies, and I've published a bunch since that weren't about that. They were about other things. So I don't know what combination of things caused these to come my way. But it is true that once they did come my way, and once I saw the bad behavior, I wasn't going to let it go. And the more that they tried intimidation, the more I knew I had to be correct, because they'd use a real argument if they didn't have to try intimidation. And part of transparency is you have to be able to investigate stuff. And if it's unspeakable to say that a scientist cheated, guess what? You're going to have more cheaters than if it's speakable. Science is supposed to be idealistic. And if it isn't idealistic, it's nothing. And that idealism includes when you find a clear case of cheating, you have to call it out. So I certainly don't look for examples in science where this occurs. But I'm also not going to look the other way.